why we have Passover. Can you tell us why we're taking the blood of a lamb? Can you explain that to us? And I can imagine the father opening up the scroll and reading to the children why they even have Passover. Open your Bibles up if you would. Exodus chapter number 12. We need to understand, as we're having communion, we need to understand why we have communion. Exodus chapter number 12. The children of Israel had been prisoners, slaves for years and years and years. God has raised up Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron have gone to Pharaoh and said, God says, set my people free. But Moses had set his heart and said, no, it's not going to happen. 9 plagues have taken place. Blood has been spilt. Boils have appeared on animals. Frogs have invaded the land. Locusts have invaded the land. Yet still has not turned the Pharaoh's heart to the Lord. So now here we find God saying, okay, we're going to get their attention with this. Exodus chapter number 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and he said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, and tell them this, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the 2 posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And eat it not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast it with fire, his head and his legs, and with the puritans thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. So he says, what I want you to do is I want every household to take a lamb without blemish. And I want you to slaughter, to kill that lamb and take its blood. And I want you to put it on the doorpost, the sides and the top. Now I'm sure that when God told them, Moses, to do this, and Moses shared that word with the people, that the people had a lot of questions. First off, why are we doing this? I don't understand. We've never done this before. How are all these things taking place, and why are all these things taking place? Verse number 12. And I will pass through the land of Egypt, God said, this night. And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I shall smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. God said, when I come into the land, when I send the angel of death into Egypt, when I come to a house without the blood, the firstborn in every house will die. But when I come to a house that has the blood, I will pass over that house. Now, the Hebrews had an opportunity to do what God had told them to do, or they could say no. They could have said, I'm not interested in that. We've never done that before. I'm good enough. I'll take care of the children myself. Or they could say, yes, God, I'm going to trust you. See, the thing is, This had never happened before. They didn't have any understanding of this. All they knew is that God said, do it this way. So sure enough, that night, each household takes a lamb and takes the blood and puts it over the doorposts. And as the death angel comes into the land of Egypt, you could hear the screaming. You could hear the crying. You could hear all of those hollering and saying, what? But every house that had the blood, the death angel passed over. So as the father's explaining this to his son and his daughters in the house as they're celebrating the Passover, he says, God sent a lamb to pay for the sins of the people in that house. But Daddy, what does it mean, this Jesus riding in on a donkey, this one who calls himself the Messiah? He doesn't look like a lamb. The father says, he's the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. Brothers and sisters, Passover is more than just drinking the grape juice and eating the wafer. Passover is celebrating the Messiah who is to come. Communion is remembering what Jesus has done for us. When Jesus instituted this on the night before he was crucified, he told his disciples, I want you to take what I'm teaching you here and I want you to pass it on, because I'm going to sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. Go to the book of Matthew. Let's look at this conversation that he had. Matthew chapter number 26. Perhaps that very same evening, as the father was meeting with his children, Jesus was meeting with his disciples. Matthew chapter number 26. Now Matthew is actually here for this event to take place. So he's sharing with us the exact words that Jesus shared that night. While they were taking and eating of the Passover meal, Jesus institutes something different, something they've never experienced before. This conversation that he's having with the disciples have never heard before. So I'm sure that as he was doing the teaching during the Passover meal, their ears perked up. It says that as they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. I'm sure they had seen him do that many times. And he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said this, take, eat, this is my body. Now I'm sure that gave them pause for just a moment. Because every other time they'd celebrated Passover with him, probably twice at least before this, every time he had broken it and blessed it, they were used to that. And they were used to him taking it and passing it. But now he adds something to it. He says, this bread, it's going to represent my body. And I'm sure they had thoughts in their mind. What do you mean, your body? You're right here. We see you're whole. But he says, it's going to represent what's getting ready to take place. I'm getting ready to die for you for the sins that you've committed. I'm getting ready to be the Passover lamb. We do Passover, but I'm getting ready to be the one who sacrificed. Look at the next statement he makes. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them. And they were used to that. And this is what he said, drank you all of it. But then he makes another statement. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. They were used to celebrating the blood of the lamb, but they weren't used to drinking the grape juice, the wine, as the lamb's blood. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." They had a lot of questions, I'm sure, in their minds. What does this mean? Why are your body going to be broken? Why are you going to shed your blood? Even though he had told them many, many times that he had to die for their sins. But that night when he took the bread and he broke it and said, this represents my body. The Bible tells us in the book of John that a lot of these teachings he did, they didn't understand till later on after he rose again. So they broke the bread and they passed it, and they drank the wine and they passed it. And then it says they went out and sung a hymn. He said, "Oh, Brother Brian, what's the big deal? Why should we keep doing this? Why are we celebrating communion? Why do we have that little cup of grape juice and that little wafer? What's the big deal?" Here's the big deal. It represents what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. He was the perfect Lamb of God. As in the book of Exodus, that lamb or that goat that they chose had to be perfect, no blemishes. It had to be able to be pure to die. Jesus Christ was pure to die for our sins. I had somebody ask me one time, "Well, Brother Brian, what if I don't trust that Jesus died for my sins? What if I think and believe that I can make it on my own?" I asked them a question. "Okay, so you think that that true statement, you think that that's okay for you to do it on your own?" And they said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, then where do you get that from? Where have you been taught that?" "I don't know, I've just always believed it." I said, "Okay, but what if you believe and you're believing wrong? What if your sins are going to be paid for? How are your sins going to be taken care of?" He says, "Well, I hope when I get to heaven one day, God will look at me and say, 'Well, you did good enough here, and you did this bad, but you know what? You barely squeaked by, so I'm going to go ahead and let you in.'" Is that what you're counting on when you get to heaven? Are you counting on that you're going to stand before God and all the good things you did outweighed your bad? That there's some kind of a scale up there? What happens if you do one bad thing before you die and all of a sudden it goes like this? What happens? Whew. That's not a happy day. "Well, I thought I did enough." And God says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." But what if Jesus really did die for the sins of the whole world? What if he really presents his blood before God at this very moment, and he's up there shedding his blood and showing it to the Father, so that when we do appear in heaven, God looks at us and doesn't say, "You were good enough or you're bad enough." He says, "All I see is the blood. Jesus Christ slain before the foundation of the world on our behalf to pay for our sins." Find 1 Corinthians now for me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We've looked forward from the book of Exodus. We've seen what took place. But now let's look backwards about what happened. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, trying to help them understand the significance of communion. Deacons, if you guys want to get ready to come on up, we'll get ready here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 15. Paul writes, he says, "I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say." In other words, look at what I'm telling you. I want you to understand it. I want you to analyze it. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Now look at this, it's very key. Look at verse 17. "For we being many are one bread and one body, For we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, what does that mean? We're all partakers. What is communion really all about? It's remembering what Jesus has done. It's remembering how His body was broken. It's remembering how His blood was shed. But you know what else it's all about? Look at me for a minute, please. The time of communion is that we're all one together, celebrating this together. We belong to each other. It's not the teenagers and the older people. It's not the folks in this group over here and this group over here. No, we are all belonging together. And when we have communion, we're doing it together to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. I love in the book of Revelation that John looks out and he sees a multitude of people worshiping at the throne. And you know what this multitude looked like? Some had brown skin. Some had black skin. Some had white skin. Some spoke Japanese. Some spoke Russian. Some spoke English. All nations were there. They weren't broken down by denomination. They weren't broken down by race. They weren't broken down by gender. They were simply there because of what Jesus Christ had done. They were having communion. Guess what? That's the same thing with us. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be broken down by this group of people and by that group of people. It's all going to be those who know Christ as their Savior, worshiping God together. So as we celebrate communion this morning, it's got nothing to do with judging. It's got nothing to do with condemning. It's got everything to do with celebrating what Jesus Christ has done. But there's a warning that Paul gives here. And I would be remiss if I didn't share this warning with you. Look here at the very next chapter, chapter number 11. Paul talks about community. He's continuing to teach about it. But he says in verse number 26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." Every time we celebrate communion, we're talking and showing what Jesus has done. His death and His burial and His resurrection. Until He does come back. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, because of this, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." The word sleep means have died. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Now, what does it mean to be unworthy? Number one, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then this means nothing to you. This is just simply grape juice and wafers. That's all it is. It means nothing. See, because for those who have trusted Christ as your Savior, we've accepted and understood what Christ died for. We've accepted and understood that He was buried. And we've accepted and received Him as our Savior. So when we celebrate communion, we're telling Him, "Thank You for dying for me." So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, and I'm not judging, I don't look to see who takes it. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't participate in this. Because it means nothing to you. "Well, that's awful mean." No, I'd rather you be me mean to you right now than later on something happen. But here's a great opportunity. In just a minute, we're going to give an opportunity for somebody to trust Christ as their Savior, and they can participate in this communion. But it also means that Christians, if you know Christ as your Savior, but you're living in a life that's not glorifying to Him whatsoever, you're living like you're really not saved, and you know it, Here's a good opportunity for you to make things right with God and ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to restore a relationship with you so that you can really celebrate what communion is. See, because this is not just a simply time of drinking some grape juice and eating a wafer and going home and singing Kumbaya. This is a time of celebrating the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and living the life of Jesus Christ. So, Miss Doris, if you'll come play something soft, please. Nothing jaunty, just something real enter the thinking about it, okay? And I'd like to give you an opportunity this morning, okay? I'd like to give you an opportunity to talk with God. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to maybe repent of your sins, ask Jesus Christ to save you, or ask Jesus Christ to restore that relationship you have with Him. So bow your heads and close your eyes. And let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, You know what's on our hearts. You know the time of communion now. We celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm asking You, Father, this morning that You would speak to our hearts. Thank You that we celebrate this and remembering what You've done. I'm asking You, Father, that the precious soul in this room that doesn't know Christ as a Savior, that today would be that day of salvation for them. Lord, if there's a precious soul that's not walking with You, that, Lord, they would return. They would, like the prodigal son, and You would receive them and forgive them and restore them to proper relationship. Now, Father, please take these few brief moments and You work in our hearts and do what needs to be done. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As Miss Doris continues to play, I'm going to ask you to come. Maybe you want to sit there and do it, but maybe you want to come forward and make things right with the Lord. Please, just as I am, please. I'm not wanting to scare you. I'm just wanting to warn you and to give you a reason to celebrate. God's not asking to be perfect. He just wants you to simply acknowledge that He's the only way. If you've had a rough week, a rough month, talk to Him about it. Tell Him. Ask Him what it's really all about. Plenty of time. Is there something going on in your life that you want someone to pray with you about? There's people here in this room that love you. We're not looking for perfection. Jesus is the only perfect one. Thank you. gentlemen, go ahead and come forward. If you notice in the book of Luke and here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, their wording is very, very similar. And I believe that as Paul and Luke traveled together, because we know that Luke wrote the book of Luke and he wrote most of what he did with Paul, that I'm sure they discussed this occasion all the time. So if you would look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and look what Paul writes here. Verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now the wafers inside of the cups here, of course, we know they're not the real body of Christ, but they represent the broken body. So as you take the wafer this morning, thank God for the broken body of Jesus Christ, for His shed blood on that cross for our sins. Thank God for what He's done for us. Brother Dale, would you please thank God for the broken body of Christ.
I want to say thank you that you hung on the cross and the body was broken for us in remembrance of our sins, Lord. And that's that. We thank our provision from the blood splattered that sacrifices that they gave in the, under the law, Lord, and that we made a use of, and that we become, because of what you did on the cross, that we become Christians. Forgiven, and because we died, and resurrected, that we have sanctuary eternal life. We thank you for your broken body and for all you did for us.
Amen. Go ahead and pass them out, Brother Dale. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to partake with us. You may be sitting next to somebody who might need some assistance opening these cups up, and please help them if you wouldn't mind. Parents, help your children. If they know Christ as their Savior, you invite them to participate. Go ahead, fellas. Go ahead and pass them. I'm glad that the only thing that makes me worthy is the blood of Christ. And Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped. And this is what he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Brother Charles, would you please thank Jesus for his shed blood?
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. Your death once on the cross, you still blood covered a lifetime of our sins.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. For the love that sent you to the cross, for the love of me, for the love of all. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that sacrifice and the honor of this time.
Amen. "This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you for your blood, Jesus. The book of Matthew says that after they celebrated communion, that they sung a hymn. So, Brother Danny, are you out there? If you'll come and lead us in a hymn. We can sing "Victory in Jesus" if you like, or whatever you would prefer.
Everybody will stand. If you'd like a book, it's 120.
His blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood."
All right, right before we're dismissed, I want to remind you a couple things. All right, don't forget, if you have sweets that you want to give to us for the Easter egg hunt or for the egg hunt, please bring them by Wednesday, if you wouldn't mind. We're going to get the eggs all put together, and it'd be a great time. We need to fill 1,500 eggs. So please, we need a lot of candy to do that. We're going to get the kids all sugared up and then send them home with you, okay? All right, Wednesday, choir practice on Wednesday, 6 o'clock, all right?
Friday night.
Worship. Okay, the teens are having a worship here Friday night. What time?
6:30.
Anybody can come. All right, they're going to sing and glorify the Lord Friday night at 6:30. So I can't think of a better place to be on a Friday night than worshiping the Lord together. Amen. All right. And am I forgetting anything else?
The children are singing next Sunday.
Yes.
Here at 10:15.
Yes. If you can get your youngins here by 10:15 next Sunday, they're going to sing during our Easter, our Resurrection Sunday. All right. Anything? No Sunday school next Sunday. We will not have Sunday school next Sunday. Manna Truck Wednesday at 9:30. Okay. All right. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, in case you forgot. Okay? Amen. All right. If you have your sheets that I gave to you on Wednesday night, the members in service, please hand them in back in the back. If you've not gotten one yet, we'll have someone back there handing them out as our survey, getting people involved in the ministry. I've got somebody back there getting ready to give those things out, so if you would do that, I would greatly appreciate it. Brother Justin, would you please dismiss us in prayer?